going to talk about tonight, the subject through the Word of God, the walk of a wise person, or the walk of a wise person. And I was actually meditating on verse number 16 to my redeeming as we've been focusing on principles of spiritual warfare. And as we look at the definition of redeeming in a moment, more detail, but how it is an aggressive action to redeem something. And I was thinking about that being a principle of warfare, and it caused me to go to this passage. So we're just going to walk our way through a few verses tonight, and we trust to be a blessing and encouragement if you desire to walk as a wise person. Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5, you will notice that the Word of God does say this: "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. I pray that you will use the Word of God and the power of your Holy Spirit to strengthen those that know you tonight. Everybody came in here in a variety of different ways. Father, you know those that came in weary. I pray that the Word of God will do more, that will sustain them. You said in the Word of God, to cast thy burden unto the Lord, he shall sustain thee. I pray you sustain someone. I pray you strengthen someone. And I pray you just help someone to maintain on the current path of faithfulness that they're heading on. Whatever the needs are, Father, I pray your will be done. And should there be someone here tonight, even save them, Father, as they hear about the wisdom and of a walk with you, and even just testifying of the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, how it cleanses us from all sin. May that be enough to convict any sinner that does not know you, and encourage them and trust their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and I thank you for standing. Very simply, we walk away through the verses. First thing you'll notice, number one, that in book and in verse number 16, is a wise person redeems the time. A wise person redeems the time. Now, the redeeming by definition means to be ransoming. And when you ransom something, you free someone from captivity or bondage or from punishment. And I like this part of the definition. It says, by giving satisfaction to the possessor. By giving satisfaction to the possessor. So the way you redeem time is somehow you must free your time from the one who possesses time. And you must, to the satisfaction and the way our time... Now, we talked about it a few services ago, that basically everything is in the hand of God. And time is in the hand of God. Now, sometimes it appears that Satan is in control of our time. But what has really happened is, we have not given to the possessor of time that which is satisfactory so he can actually free us. You know, I was reading in the Psalms today, David said, early, he said, in the morning I will seek thee. Another time in the Psalms, is it evening, morning, noon, but I cry out unto thee. And we've seen the Bible, and basically begin with the first commandment, which is the foundation for everything. The Bible says that we should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind. That's the conscious choice. And to redeem the time, you'll be amazed if you'll give that to God, that great commandment to God, how God will release some time for you. Because what will happen is, by the giving of that heart to God in that way, you will lose interest in certain things that were captivating your time. It's kind of like, well, Christmas is coming, and children all over the world have toys right now, but when they see that tree, and those gifts under that tree, they're going to lose interest in the toys they already have. And they may play for a long time, but they'll lose interest, and the excitement will go in, and it's not that they'll really want to get rid of another toy, but what will happen is, they are so enamored by what they now see, they wanted more than what they were holding on to before. See, the Christian life really is simple. Sometimes we think so much about getting rid of things that we just don't pursue Christ. And when you just pursue Christ, it becomes easy. Hey, you know what? And you just realize, you know, I don't even think about that anymore. A church in Pennsylvania sent me a package today, and what they do is, for their church members to get saved, I did this when I first came to Toronto. I need to... So again, I printed out my salvation testimony, how I got saved, and I just pass out everywhere I went, you know. And what they do is, every person in the church, that once they get saved, they have them type up their own testimony. And the church prints out their personal testimony in the form of a gospel tract. And so they have a rack when they go in, you see all these salvation testimonies of different people. And this lady had gotten saved, and she said, I was lost for 42 years. So she got saved when she was 42, and just gave the testimony of how the different events that happened to her life to bring her to Christ, and how and she had been addicted to alcohol and drinking. And when she gave her life to Christ, she was amazed that all of a sudden, see, that morning she didn't have any desire to smoke. And later that week, she didn't have any desire to drink. What had happened is Christ had so captivated her thoughts that she lost interest in those things that used to be what was holding her together, and that she thought, anyway, which really was destroying her. But a wise person redeems the time. When you redeem something, you make a conscious choice to capture it. And, since my time belongs to God, sometimes Satan, he can't control, again, it's in the hands of God, but sometimes Satan tried to put his hands on what belonged to God. And I can only imagine, I was talking to a guy I play squash with sometimes in the morning, and he lives just a few streets over from me. And when we first moved to that neighborhood, not too long before that, Holly Jones had been captured and murdered, and we were talking about that situation, and I could just envision, if a parent was there, and just had just laid their hands on the child, there'd be a rage, and something would come up, no, let go of my child. And time is precious to God. And when Satan puts his hands on what belongs to God, that'll be something that says, no, that belongs to my Father. And something ought to rise up, and that love of God causes you, Lord, whatever it takes, I want you to have what's yours, which is my time. But a wise person redeems the time, because he gives us the instruction here, and he says, see then, verse 15, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And so the walk of the circumspect person, the wise person, is what we see following. Secondly, number two, a wise person understands that the days are evil. A wise person understands that the days are evil. Now, that may not seem like much, but it really makes a difference in how you live your day if you understand the days are evil. Because the mistake that people make is trying to find the good that's in the world. The Bible said that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's all you're going to find in the world. That's the best you're going to find, because God said that's all that's there. And a wise person understands that. You understand the days are evil. Like my wife and I and the boys were in Buffalo last night. Just the evening, they got dark, and we were getting ready to come home. And I started driving, and I ran over a cat, which I thought was a good thing, because I don't like cats. If you like cats, I'm sorry. No offense. But then I ran into a pole, and I just started getting upset because it was so dark I couldn't see anything. And then I hit this little old lady. I'm kidding. You probably figured that by now. And unfortunately, I am kidding about the cat too. No, just kidding. Now, can you imagine me getting upset? And I start crying out against the darkness. I could not believe it was dark. And I was just getting frustrated. No, I knew it was dark. And you know what? I accepted the fact that it was dark. So you know what I did? When I drive, I turned the light on. And because I accepted the fact that it was dark, and because I knew it was dark, the darkness wasn't a problem for me, because I just shined the light. See, wise person understands. Now, I could have said, down, dear, now you wait here in the car, and I'm gonna go ahead, and I'm gonna go try to find some light. And when I find some light, we'll head that direction. my wife would have said, oh, that's a great idea. Would you just leave the keys with me? And she left me in Buffalo and called the insane, called somebody to come help me. Now, in this world, if a wise person understands that the days are evil. Now again, I didn't get bewildered by the darkness. I didn't get discouraged by the darkness. In fact, I didn't complain about the darkness. I didn't whine about the darkness. I simply turned the lights on. And Yes, there's darkness all around us. Yes, the days are evil. And again, we are the light of this world, so we just simply go in and shine the light. You know, it's really that simple, you know. And instead of out searching to find some good that God said is not there, God is good. Let's take God into that which will help them. You know, God created the earth. He said, you know what? It's dark. He said, let there be light. And you know what happened? There was light. You know, right now, Toronto is dark. But you know, he looks in this church tonight, and in there he said, there's some people here that know me, and God hasn't given up on Toronto because there's some light here. He said, just go shine. Just go shine. But what he tried to get you to do is give up on yourselves and not shine the light, to give up on the pursuit of light, because what happens to us, we're not wise sometimes. We look at this life, we look at these situations, you know. I share with you about that football player that killed his wife and left behind. I thought it was a 3-year-old daughter, but it was a 3-month-old daughter. And you know, and I was reading that story, and I was crying this morning. It just broke my heart. I was sitting there, I just thinking about that, you know. I was just weeping, you know. But you know what I thought? Father, we can get the next one before that happens. Because we got the light.
Girlfriend, though, not wife.
Yeah, girlfriend, yeah. Sad nonetheless, amen. But we shine another light, and we can go do that, you know. And we go do, but what I'm saying is, you can look at earthly circumstances, situations so hard, and all of a sudden you start looking, man, start feeling sad. So saying, you know what, that's a reminder of what I'm really here for, is go out into the darkness and to shine a light, and let it shine everywhere we need to see it. But if you understand the days are evil, then you just take your purpose upon yourself. I was thinking this morning, I was praying that by two contrary statements in the Bible. One is a statement of destruction. One is a statement of power. Satan said, Lucifer, in the passage of the Word Bible finds it, he said, I will be like the Most High. Cause him to sin against God. Cast out to heaven like lightning, Jesus Christ says. But Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. See, the greatest weakness in Christianity is people just not accepting what they are. You are the light. Just shine. And people spend their time trying to be something that they already are. Hey, God said you're holy. Just be a reflection of the holiness. He said, be holy for I am holy. And he tells us you've been called in the holiness and all the different things he tells us about ourselves. And when Paul says that, by the grace of God, I am what I am. God chose you. You didn't choose yourself. Accept what God has chosen. And look at this world. It's evil. He didn't say get discouraged by it. He didn't say be disappointed by it. He simply said, recognizing that the days are evil, that means you have a job to do. That means you have something, you have purpose in this life because the days are evil. But see, but a person that's not wise is continually hoping for some type of world transformation instead of individual transformation. Because, just like Toronto, and okay, Toronto proper, I think 2.5, 2.6 million people, something may have shrank or grown up last time I checked. That's a lot of people. If I start thinking about 2.6 million people, man, I'm thinking, man, I can't. There's no way I could ever make a dent. But I start thinking about, just like I was chatting today, you know what, I should tell this person about Christ, you know. I just started by saying, you know, hey, there's a gap there. I thought, you know, I should just tell them I'm a Christian and working in Toronto. And I did, you know, and just went from there. The person you meet at the checkout line, tell them some good word about Jesus Christ. Tell them how God saved you, you know. Well, but it wasn't really a conversation. Well, so what? You can bring up the weather any day and just bring up how God saved you. Amen. You know, you can just bring up any good news, you know. But when you understand the days are evil, it makes all decisions easier. Number three, a wise person is committed to understanding the will of God. Verse 17, notice this. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. is. Now, in religion, what's happened, we are committed to knowing about God and committed to knowing information about God and committed to facts and statistics instead of committed to understanding what the will of the Lord is. Because, you know, I can be proud of my Bible information. But, you know, if I want to understand the will of the Lord, if I'm committed to that, it changes the way I approach the day. Because, you know what, if I don't, because with just Bible information, I can use that for condemnation. I can use that for judgment. In the form of condemnation, we are supposed to judge righteous judgment by determining and ascertaining, looking at what's going on in situations. I can use it for criticism. I can use it for self-exaltation. But if I understand what the will of the Lord is for me, if I'm committed to that, then one, I've got to have fellowship with God. I've got to walk with God. And the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That means I have to have on the same page as God, have the same desires. And you know, when I'm that way, I walk in wisdom. That causes me, makes all my decisions different too. Not much room for self if I understand what the will of the Lord is. And make it very simple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, and whatsoever you do, word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And if you're committed to that, what a difference it makes. Because a wise person has a peaceful walk. Our Savior is a perfect example. I always say this often, and hopefully before you die, you'll get this. Jesus was never in a hurry. You know why? Because he was wise. Again, I read a good statement in this book on humility. Humility not only shows you what to do, but it says humility shows you what not to do. Because when you're humble, you've submitted and surrendered yourself unto God, to his plan, his way of doing things. And that humility leads you about what to do, what not to do. And though you would want to do something that you think is a priority, your humility says that God knows better than me. And so I better do what God says. Even though I think this is a priority, I've been doing it this way all the time, and I feel like this is what's best. I really think I need to do this, but no, humility says, you know what, Lord, I've been with you. I understand what your will is, so I don't really have to do that right now. I can do what the Bible says in Psalms, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Next thing we see, a wise person fills himself with the Spirit. Verse 18, I be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Wise person makes that choice. He fills himself. I like this. It says be filled. That means it's within you. Assuming you're saved, by the way. Because and we read, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Too much information been written about being filled with the Spirit when it just says be it. If the Spirit of God is in you, you just yield to it. Be filled. Let it consume you. Let it control you. As you understand the will of the Lord, yield to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they're Spirit, they're life. So be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Word of God. Be filled with that grace, those attributes of Christ that he placed within you when he saved you. A wise person does that. Next thing, a wise person talks to himself about God. A wise person talks to himself about God. Notice verse 19. Speaking to yourselves. You know, I'm all for listening to good godly music. And I'm all for listening to preaching. But God says speak to yourself. That means you take time based on your relationship with God and what you know about it, and speak to yourself. But it guides us here. We don't speak about anything, any old thing. We speak to ourselves in Psalms. When you read a psalm, speak to yourself about the psalm. Hey, if you have a psalm that you memorize, speak to yourself about what that means. Don't just speak the words, empty words. You know, when I was a young child, I learned 23rd Psalm. Most children do. Well, a lot of children do. And you speak to yourself that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Father, is my life in want right now? One of your servants said that when you were with you as his shepherd, he didn't have any wants. And you're no respecter of persons. So that means I can have that life too. He's making me lie down in green pastures. Father, your sheep, you provide for them. Are you providing for me, or am I providing for me? He restoreth my soul. I get weak sometimes. Father, you restore me. Speaking to you in songs and hymns. Think about the hymns that you know. And when you sing hymns, speak to yourself about the hymns, you know. Not just, we don't just sing for the sake of singing, but we speak hymns to ourselves. Hymns that put us back, our eyes back on the Lord. You know, and a good hymn, that's exactly what it does. You know what I find, and I'm not against new music, I've written songs myself. But when you listen, the common trend with a lot of music, not all of it, you just let the Spirit guide you, a lot of it is self-introspective. And if you think about it, when you listen to it, what it does is it reminds you of your own personal feelings instead of just putting your eyes clearly on God. And honestly, be honest with you, it's some of the songbooks the same way. You have to, there's a time for everything. But when you speak to yourself about hymns, because the goal is to be filled with the Spirit, let me fill with thoughts of God. What you want to focus on most of things that put your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking on unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. You know, I have good friends. And it's nice to talk to a friend that understands where I'm at. But you know what's better? To have a friend to get me out of where I'm at sometimes. You know, I mean, if I'm down and discouraged, I mean, it's great. If I call Brother Wheeler, he's been where I've been. He's 10 years older than me. It's good to know someone's walked some of the steps that I've walked, but it's better if he can get me out of where I'm at. Because you know? If not, I just get off the phone and he's sad and I'm sad. And sometimes, if we're not careful, if we listen to so much music that just reminds us of our feelings, then we just don't go anywhere. We just stay discouraged. We just stay there instead of a song, a hymn that lifts our eyes on the God and say, you know what? Yes, I've had the low moment, but here my eyes are on Jesus Christ. And songs and spiritual songs. Okay, Jesus said the words, speaking of the Spirit. And so spiritual songs are songs filled with the Word of God. Speaking to yourself, a wise person does this. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sometimes when the children sing, most of the time when I would ask them to sing something, it's something I've heard them sing around the house. Because once they're singing it to themselves, I know they won't mind publicly singing it. Because other than that, anybody can be trained to perform something. They're all talented and gifted. And they can sing anything they practice and it sound good. But the ones that, when I can tell the impact of their heart, and as the men, that's what's moving them. That's what I ask them to share. And when you read the hymns and when you sing the song, that's why I asked you to just pick some songs, hymns tonight. I could pick things all the time that would mean something to me. It'd be almost every one to me. But when you pick a song, then you most often when you pick a song, you sing the song that you pick. But when I pick the songs all the time, you may sing just because, well, we're here, we're supposed to do it. But when you picked it, you said, that one means something to me. I'm going to sing out for that one, you know. And so you speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's a wise person, he talks to himself about God. Next thing, a wise person continually gives thanks. Now notice this verse here in verse 20. He didn't just continue to give thanks, but he gives thanks always for all things unto God. The direction of thanks is unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because, see, that is what, again, everything is designed to have your mind revolving around God. Because that's what a powerful life is. And we can be thankful for things, but when we, it's different to give thanks unto God. Lost people are thankful for a beautiful sunny day. Lost people are thankful that they have money in the bank or good health or anything. But this says giving thanks for all things. That means it challenges. Like the little bit of opposition Brother David talked about today. Praising God for that, that's a blessing. We should thank God for that. And giving thanks to all things. Hey, the difficult times. Hey, James, account all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Hey, the pressures of life. Thank the Lord for that. You know, I was going through something this week, you know, as I've been talking about spiritual warfare, I've been going through it. And you know, I thought to myself, I said, Lord, I just want to get to the place where this isn't such a struggle for me anymore. And then I thought, you know what? No. I always need to be in a fight because it's warfare. And I said, I said, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the fight. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God that gives me what I need to win the fight. And I said, Lord, through you, I'm going to fight. And I thank you for that. And it just changed the whole complexion of the day, you know. And because what happened, you can focus on, you know, why do you, Paul, even Paul, he shared how the things that I would do, I do not. But that's just part of it. Thank God for that. That there's a recognition through that process. There's a recognition of a weakness of self to where it lets you remind, it reminds you, you actually do need God's help continually. Because you know what would happen if I could get to the place where it just didn't seem like a fight? But I wouldn't need God. And I just, hey, I've got this thing all figured out, you know. That's why sometimes the calm before the storm is exactly what it is, the calm before the storm. And in the calm, man, this is pretty good sailing, you know. Then you're not prepared. And then the storm hits. Oh, my. Well, see, the wise person, they've redeemed the time. They've captured the time. And even in the calm, they know that this day is evil. So I better shine some light. And so when the storm comes, nothing changes. They were shining light before the storm. They're going to shine the light through the storm. Hey, that's why the apostles, hey, when they were shining light before they were put in jail, then after they were put in jail, they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. They just kept on rolling. Nothing changed, you know. Because I always say God's people are supposed to be people of action and not people of reaction. When filled with the Spirit of God, led by God, we're acting. But what we do so often, because we haven't redeemed the time, Satan has his hands on our time. And so we go throughout our days reacting to life situations. Well, financial need comes. We react to it. And so we say, well, okay, was I working already? Was I being faithful to God already? Was I praying already? Okay, my Heavenly Father knows the things I need of even before I ask. So nothing's changed. We have relationship situations. Okay, I was trying to walk with God. I was trying to love my brother. Okay, if I did something wrong, I just repent. If I didn't, then I just keep going forward. And patiently pray for the relationship situation. But the wise person continue to give thanks in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give me thanks, verse 20, always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing we see, a wise person lives a life of submission in the fear of God. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Because all of us here live a life of submission. Even when we think we're doing our own thing, we're living in submission. We submit to the speed limit. We submit to laws of the government. We submit to people's expectations. We submit to our own expectations. We submit to our fears. We submit to our wants. We submit to our desires. But God says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So your submission in this world, and basically what that means is when you want to do your thing, you don't, because you respect God enough. You say, you know what? I could do what I really want to do. The Lord, what am I supposed to do? Because your ways are not my ways. And your thoughts are not my thoughts. And you've never made a mistake. So I respect the fact. I respect that fact about you, Lord, that you don't make mistakes. In fact, I respect the fact about you, God, that you are love. And since you're love, you're never going to ask me to do something that is not for my best interest in mind, even if it seems painful at that time. And since I respect you, I fear you, Lord, I just submit my will to you. And even though it may seem like I'm submitting to this person, that's what you asked me to do, so I'm really just submitting to you. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. And when you do that, God says, that's what wise people do. He said, first, he said, wake up. verse 14, where he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. So it kind of sounds like when you don't walk as wise, you walk like a dead person. And Christ shall give thee life. See then, read verse 15, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So we want to walk wise. What are you doing with your time? Does Satan have his hands on your time? When he does it, do you have your hands on your time? If not, if so, tonight's a good day just to buy it back, just redeem it. So you know what? I'm going to go recapture that which I have allowed to be placed into bondage. Because you know what? We are made in the image of God. And God created us to have a life of control. It's funny that, you know, when you actually yield to God, your life is in control. Because if you think about it, if you make the choice to submit your will to God, hey, God can't make you, and so God's in control because you gave him control. And I tell you, it's liberating, it's freeing, but it's not. Then you walk the difficulty. The Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. And you know, many hard days by many people, and it's because just not walking wisely. You know, and maybe you work in this world and just trying to look for some good in it, you know. I'm not saying be discouraged about the world, but I'm saying look at the evil and say, look at the darkness and say, I'm the light. Hey, this is the opportunity. I mean, this is not some depression, discouragement thing. When he said the days are evil, no, praise God, God left me here to shine the light. But be committed to understanding the will of the Lord. If Jesus came back today, I ask myself this question often, and he had me to give account for today, would my day have been in the will of God? And he said, well, I don't know. Well, why not? God says to know that. Be committed to that. So if you feel like your life is so pressured you can't do that, then there's something wrong with the way you've organized your life. Because we're supposed to be in the will of God. And God did, and we just read, nothing shall be impossible for you. It's funny, the simplest things that about the Christian life, we've allowed Satan to convince us they're impossible. Christians walk around today as if they can't know God's will about everything. And Christians walk around today as if they cannot abound in the work of the Lord. We can always abound in the work of the Lord. Christians walk today as if the fruits of the Spirit are not available. There's no love, no joy, no goodness, no meekness, no temperance, no faith. You know, and actually, it's no problem with the fruit. It's a problem where's your roots at? That's what makes a difference about your fruit. If your roots are in the right place, the fruit will grow. That's what the Bible said, the foundation be destroyed. What can a righteous do? Psalm 11. So your foundation is right, and the fruit's going to come. And God wants us to be wise because that's the right foundation. Fill yourself with the Spirit. Choose to. Some ministry, I can't think of where it was, a pastor, somebody said, honestly, it's a very secular ministry, but they put out this long, in-depth thing, basically how to break your addiction from electronics and from like cell phones and things like that. It's things like take a Sabbath from your cell phone, like don't even turn it on Sundays, you know, and turn it off at 9 o'clock at night, little things like that, tips like that. Because people don't realize it, how they just, you know what our electronics called us to do? And I use electronics, so I'm not preaching against electronics, but they called us to be people of reaction instead of action. It used to be, if somebody called on the phone, you knew it was something important, and so you would pick up the phone, because that's what people use it for. But now, every little, and I'm the same way sometimes, every little bleep, okay. Sometimes I have to remind myself, okay, just because the thing went off, I don't have to drop what I'm doing right now. Because you know what the honest thing is? If something's important, you know what people really will do if it's really important? They'll call. If it's really important, they'll call. But these things cause people reaction. And what happens is, without even thinking about it, we spend the entire day reacting. And we react, and what happens is, then what's happened, the day's over. What have you thought about all day long? Everything you've reacted to. And what happens is, you have good intentions, you want to live the day for God, and all of a sudden, and you're burdened, and you're tired, and you're worried, and you're drained spiritually, you're drained emotionally, and you don't even know why. It's because you've not been a person of action. You've just been a person of reaction. When the wise person, number one, says, wait a minute, this is God's time. I need to react. If I'm going to react, I need to react when God speaks. But see, you got to put yourself in a position for God to speak. Then you hear, hey, these days are evil. But you know what? God left me here as light. So I already know what my purpose is tomorrow and the day is. If the days are evil, that means they're full of darkness. If you're saved tonight, raise your hand, if you don't mind. Okay, so... so if the days are evil or darkness, what is your purpose tomorrow? Say it like you believe it, or don't say it. All right, shine the light, amen. Isn't that easy? You just found the will of God tonight. See how easy that is? Now don't raise your hand. But how many today was at the focal point of your day? That was what your emphasis of what you did today. And then you answer this question: how did your day end? I mean, do you feel like you had a fulfilled day? Do you feel like you had a day that really counted for something, or did you just? Now, I'm not saying you did anything bad, but do you feel like, man, that day meant something, or do you just, I'm just glad to be here, but I just, something's missing. Well, light is meant to shine. And when we walk as wise people, man, it just all comes so easy. It's not about what we can do. It's not about building some church empire. It's just simply about shine, shine, shine. Talk to yourself about God. Is God good? Is God worthy to be brought up in conversation? Hey, if you talk to yourself about God, it'd be a lot easier to talk to somebody else about God. Hey, lift him up, amen. So I'm in the shower, man. I get to preaching in the shower, amen. And it's just different ways, all different types of things you can do, you know. In the car, talk to yourself about God. Walking down the street, I mean, talk to yourself about God. Somebody just think you're on a cell phone anyway, so it's okay, you know. You see how many people are talking, having these conversations, you don't know whether they interrupt or not. You know, just talk to God. Talk to yourself about God. Everywhere you go, and they say, are you okay? Yeah, I was just having a great conversation with myself about God. And can I tell you about it? See, I should... we say, wow, people think I'm strange. Well, we are strange. We're supposed to be strange. We're peculiar, the Bible says. Now, that means precious also, but we are pilgrims. We're strangers, the Bible says, in this land. And continually give thanks to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, and just keep submitting. Don't look for your own way, because that's what God saved you from, right? Behold, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's what brought us destruction. So Christ is not here to just give us fire insurance and let us live our own way again with him to help us live our own way. Now, true salvation is repentance, turning from your own way to the way. God is now in control. Yeah, I'm now submitted to God. And now, I'm just doing whatever God wants. And wise people always seem to just flow. And you look at the wise people of the Bible, you look at Joseph, a man that his brothers hated him, sold him into slavery. Every situation, he just kept walking with God, and it got better. And he didn't get bitter, he got better. And it's all then boom, boom, boom. Just began to grow and grow and prosper, and all of a sudden, and he knew, you know, he understood what the will of the Lord was, because when he stood there with his brothers, whom he could have blamed for being unspiritual and not believing his vision, he said, you know, God sent me before you. to reserve your life. You know, as a child of God, sometimes the closest people to you may shun you and cast you aside. But you know what? That's for their good even. Think about that. Because if you respond like Christ, they will see that Christ. And so even that is used to test you to bless them. And if your God be real, you'll pass the test. Because you spoke to yourself about God. So it's okay. That's how you can bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Because you say, man, this is a pretty dark situation. What should I do? This is so dark. This is so miserable. I can't believe they're treating me like this. Shine. Hey, just shine. Amen, by the grace of God. Hey, next time you go to work, and they start again, just shine, brother. Amen. Different situations. Hey, we handle a gospel tract, and they said, I don't want to hear about you or your religion. Well, this isn't about religion. Man, this is about the Lord Jesus Christ, how He saves people from their sin. And tell them what God did for you. Just shine. And even if they don't believe it, they'll see you happy about it. And the next time, and when they get to those dark days, the Spirit of God, I've told several people this. I said, you may not want this now, but I'm telling you this based on the authority of the Word of God. His Word does not return void. The Spirit of God, one day in your life, is going to bring to mind this conversation. And when you look for answers, you will know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, I'm looking forward to that day. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. We pray that every child of yours will leave this place with a renewed commitment to walk in wisdom. May the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be praised.